I remember also getting off the bike and pushing the bike with my hands, and the coach screaming like, "Get back on the bike! What are you doing?" It was something that I like was pushing people to change for the better is one of the goals I have in life.
I would assume that the hijab stands out in the peloton, right? Like, it's probably not something that it's common for them.
Especially on hot days. Especially on hot days, everybody is looking at me like, how do you even cope like that? The national team for the Asian Championships, and I was able to achieve the first medal for the UAE on the Asian level.
Beyond the Olympics, what are some of your biggest dreams in this sport?
Become world champion, maybe. Like, I say it with hesitation, but I'd love to say it with more confidence.
Hello, and welcome to Opton, a podcast series from the National News dedicated to Arab athletes and their respective journeys towards the Paris 2024 Olympics. I'm your host, Rima Boulil, and today I'm joined by the UAE's first female professional cyclist, Safiya Soya. A multiple-time national champion and a time trial bronze medalist at the Under-23 Asian Championships, Safiya has made rapid strides in the sport within a very short period of time. In 2022, she signed for Team UAE ADQ to become the first Arab woman to join a World Tour outfit. She made her World Tour competitive debut last year with an impressive top 35 finish at the Tour of Chongming Island in China. She has represented the UAE in two World Championships, and having punched her ticket to Paris this summer, Safiya has become the first Emirati woman cyclist to qualify for the Olympics. As she gets ready to graduate from the American University in Dubai with a degree in graphic design this spring, Safiya discusses the challenges of juggling her cycling career with her studies, what it's been like taking the leap towards competing among the sport's elite, her perspective on chasing goals versus dreams, and getting out of a dark hole that almost stopped her from accepting the contract with Team UAE ADQ. She shares her pride in representing her country and religion in the world of professional cycling, and tells us what it's like donning the hijab and competing amongst a predominantly European peloton. She's only just 22 and has already accomplished so much. Join us on this very special episode to find out more about Safiya. Safiya Soya, I am very, very happy that you're joining me today in today's episode of Optol. Thank you so much for your time. I've been wanting to talk to you for a very long time. I've been following your career. I love following you on Instagram because you always go to very cool cafes, and cafes that I've never heard of. So I get all my new recommendations from you. So thank you for that. And yeah, welcome to Optol.
Thank you. Thank you for your interest. And I look forward to this episode.
So you have a big year ahead of you. You're graduating from the American University in Dubai. You're studying graphic design, I believe. And also, there's just that small thing called the Olympics. And so there's a lot to discuss, but tell me, let's start with the Olympics. I know it was a goal for you. And when exactly did you know that you officially qualified for the Olympics? And what was your reaction?
Obviously, so many emotions. The Olympics is such a thing. Nearly every athlete dreams of at least participating in, and the whole experience. I think I'm more forward to the whole experience more than the race. I'm going to race. Obviously, the race is going to be brutal. It's the Olympics, so one of the hardest races on an athlete's calendar, and all the best of names. And then you have every 4 years, obviously, is the Olympics. So the year before it, which was last year, qualifying was such a, well, athletes are on nearly the top level to qualify, but then on the year of the Olympics, they're on an even higher level. So you just don't even know how much more to expect from the worldwide level, at least for cycling, to speak in specific. And I look forward to the brutal experience with the race, but also I'm sure it's going to be such an enjoyable and memorable experience all around, being in the athlete village with all the different athletes. I always enjoy going with the Olympic Committee to any games. So we've had the Arab Games, we've had the Islamic Games, we've had also the Asian Games last year and the year before, all postponed because of COVID. And I really got to enjoy, because it was the first year to participate ever, like ever since I've started my career in any type of games with different athletes. So so different than just having cyclists around you, because year by year, okay, you do get new faces, but then you still have quite a lot of athletes that you already know, so you don't get to mix and network with other sports and different athletes.
So how did you qualify for this? Because I know with cycling and there's different things and you can go through continental and things like that. So how did you qualify? Yeah.
So in cycling, you get to either qualify by your continental championship, which for me is the Asian championship. But back in June, I was fifth in the TT, and then I had an unfortunate, I'd say not best decision in the last corner of the race. And I missed out on a good result on the road race. So I wasn't able to qualify directly through that championship, because I think it's only first and second that qualify. I'm for sure know that first qualifies, but I'm not sure. Some years it's been second, some years not. But I was 20-something in that race. So, yeah, quite unfortunate. Like, I was looking for a goal there, but didn't achieve it. But then I still got points out of that. Continental championships are quite rich in points. So I was able to achieve some points there. Also, before going to the... So after not qualifying in the Asian championships, I had to change or at least try to achieve as many points in all the races I do throughout the calendar. So after the continental championships, there wasn't... We weren't so optimistic with qualifying because... all the countries are doing very high World Tour races. I only got into the World Tour races at the end of the season to achieve a bit more points through that. But if an athlete is competing at World Tour levels, which is the highest league of cycling, you're getting quite a lot of points from each race you win or at least get a top 40 in. So nations, then by mid-year, we changed the plan with qualifying by points and trying to achieve as many. And then it was quite late because there was not many races left. So I was still able to achieve some. And we decided to try and qualify by nation ranking. And that's how we qualified in the end and got one place in the Olympics as a nation. And through Asian Games, through the first World Tour race I did and debuted in China, both races actually were in China. So I had a big block in China. First going for the Asian Games with the time trial, I was able to achieve a couple of points. I achieved about 30 points in the road race, ranking in the top 20. And then I was able to also achieve some good points in the tour of Chongming Island in Shanghai, China. And by that, we were able to at least save the spot that we had kind of lost in the Asian Games because more riders were getting more and more points. We were able to save the spot and just get into that end point of the nation ranking and qualify with one place. And I got the qualification ended in around the 17th of October. And then we got the final actual results around the end of, 17th to 18th of November. And that's when I was driving with my mom back from the FBMA Awards. And we got the news and I was just full of emotions. Yeah, it's been such a dream to dream about going to the Olympics. But then to actually qualify is something else. Such a goal come true.
It sounded like that period of end of last year was quite stressful. Was it stressful and looking at the points the whole time and all that?
It was. And then you have the database not being always updated, so you're always waiting to see if any other nations have actually scored more points to jump above you. So it was a bit stressful, but we just took it race by race, trying to achieve the maximum, and I'm very, very happy and blessed, and thanks to God that I was able to qualify.
Well, that's amazing. Let's go back to the beginning. I know that you started with many different sports before settling on cycling. Can you tell me a little bit mm-hmm. about your background in sport and eventually what did lead you to cycling?
So I come from a sporty household. My father was an ex-professional footballer and he actually competed at the Junior World Cup, which is a big thing for football as well. So I'm happy to also achieve big things like he has achieved. And he didn't push us technically into sports, but he was happy with us competing at various types of sports at school. We had, back in my age, we had so many competitions throughout the year, and I was always called the sporty girl because I was going for everything and being pushed into everything by the PE teachers. And I did all sorts. I did rugby, I did all the basketball, football, rugby, badminton, tennis, swimming. I really used to love swimming, and I thought it was something that I did settle on it for 4 years competing in the school league. But obviously with covering up and with my father not being so keen on me competing outside of the school level back at the time because of my studies, I limited myself, and then there wasn't that age category above, I think, 12 years old back in the school league. So I had to leave that dream on the side and go and compete in different other sports. I really was quite saddened. It's like giving up on your favorite sport was quite a sad thing for me. But I guess you only give up things to go to better stuff in the future. And I'm happy to, I did also gymnastics actually. And I'd say swimming and gymnastics are two sports that have given me a big level up in cycling because of the flexibility and also the fitness swimming gives you, and the flexibility of gymnastics that gives me a bit more elasticity and a bit of an advantage over others who are not so flexible. Obviously, cycling is such an endurance sport, but for the small details around the position and being able to hold it and things like that, I was able, I'd say, to get an advantage from the sports I competed in at a young age. I got pushed. I was doing athletics after swimming, which I wasn't so keen on, but I was doing it because there were more competitions for it, and I was like, okay, I always have to have a go at any other sport I haven't tried out. So I was trying it out, and I got introduced to cycling through school. There was a Dubai amateur, the Dubai Tour amateur race. I wanted to compete in because I had bought a secondhand bicycle with my father. Both me and him were going around the neighborhood and had like enjoying just cycling after a busy day. We got to bond even more, go onto a deeper level of not just a father really daughter relationship, but actually be more as friends and share more, and you know, a better level of closeness. And it was really memories to actually cherish and remember on throughout my life, which is something also I want to do with my children, hopefully in the future. If I'm blessed with any, to actually connect with them even deeper. And through there, I didn't get to race that race eventually, but I also, from my friend in athletics, I saw her actually taking pictures and posting on social media of the UAE Cycling Federation. And back in the time, it was such a small sport that, for women especially, that there was only the national team out there competing. There were no amateur teams as we have today. There were no club teams other than for the male category. And now we have also the first professional team, which is such an honor and such a good direction for people to look up to dream of the professional dream. So yeah, I got into cycling by joining the national team. My father wasn't so keen, as I told you, because he didn't like me doing sports out of the school boundary for the sake of my studies. He did give up a bit of his studies for some time for his dream of becoming a professional. But I was an A student. I was focused in my studies, and I did want to continue with my studies and also do sport at a more professional level, or you know, progress with it more out of school. And I was happy that he eventually was convinced and he allowed me to do it. And yeah, and then it got better year by year, more races, more community initiatives, amateur teams came up, clubs came up, clubs started creating a women's team when they already had a male's team. And up from there, it just progressed to today with the first professional males team, and then now for the female with UAE Team ADQ.
That's amazing. And with your father, obviously him being an athlete, it's interesting that in your case, in the beginning, him being a former athlete who had to give up his studies made him not want you to be a professional athlete, but then that seemed to have changed with time. Do you remember a certain moment where you felt, okay, my dad's like backing me now and he's okay with this and he's proud of what I'm doing and all that? Was there a specific moment you felt that made a difference?
Well, actually, in the beginning, I joined on like the second semester of my ninth grade. So I was able to prove to him as soon as I finished that semester that already I was already achieving the same grades I was, and I actually even got better a bit. So he was really happy that I even improved even more. And they do say that, like, you know, sports helps you think better, function better. So it was such a, I'd say, a improvement for that statement, and to prove to him that I was still focused and I was able to balance between both. At that point, he felt more reassured. And also after graduating from school, because school is quite, okay, uni is stressful. Out of experience, it is stressful, but school days are really long. So you have to fit in training after school. Then you have no time for, you know, homework. I was just scribbling homework around in breaks and then, before going to class and stuff like that. So I was able to balance it out and felt that he was really reassured. There was one point in my career before becoming a professional that I wanted to give up because after getting COVID and losing the fitness. He's the one that actually said, no, we should keep on going. And I was actually, it was a point that I was actually quite surprised to, I already saw him supporting me, but for him to actually say, no, you should keep it on going and it's going to get better. It was a really good point to have his support because at points like that, you can't think straight. And it's really good to have the other people's support with the right mindset.
Yeah. So you pretty much got into the sport at 14, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That's kind of when you joined the national team and stuff. And then before you got your professional contract in 2022, but that period, was there a moment when you started really understanding, oh, you can actually be a professional cyclist and it became a goal for you? Or was it also gradual that you never even put it as a goal?
Every athlete, I think, wants to become a professional. If they want to progress in the sport they are competing in. Okay, I compete at the international level with the national team, but it's also nice to be in the professional league as well, you know, with racing against other teams and not just nations, with a collective of mixes of nations, you know, because say our team has like, I think around 14 nationalities in the same, or 12 to 14 nationalities in the same team. So you get to mix and match and, converse and share ideas. So that's also one aspect of being in such a, you know, a different league than just your national team with the same riders or the same nationality. Getting that contract was quite not surprising, but it was such a good opportunity. And it was something like, wow, I'm already becoming a professional. Like I wouldn't have expected to become, if I were to become a professional in my career, I never think I would become professional that early. I mean, it's still 6 years later after starting, but with us, well, this sport being such a new sport in my nation, I did not think to become a professional this early in my career.
So I read actually that you were considering of turning it down because of, you touched on that saying it was quite a difficult period for you before then. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere you actually described that period as a dark hole. If you don't mind elaborating a bit, because I think people would find this very inspiring that you went from really considering mm-hmm. turning down that contract and feeling really low. Why were you in that quote unquote dark hole?
So I had a period where I was away for a long time with the national team to compete in the Arab Championships. I came back, I had a jumble lot of university work. I studied graphic design, so it's a major where you have to put a lot of work into creating. And, you know, if you get a creative block as well, it's so hard to get past it. So it was also a creative block at that point, so it was making everything harder. I wasn't able to finish up projects and work that I had pending, you know, because I had left for a good 3 weeks. And that uni 3 weeks means a lot in a compact semester. So yeah, I was already very high on pressure from university coming back. And then I also was followed by, okay, finals after finishing all that lot of work. So finals put a lot of stress on me, not being able to train as frequently. So that first week coming back was a whole week off the bike. With the bike, 2-3 days, you feel already so bad coming back. So after a week already, it was really bad coming back. I wasn't able to train as well that properly with the finals. So it was a day, 2 days off, 2 days of riding, and then trying to squabble around with the workload. And finally, after I had finished the semester, that weekend, I was like, finally, I'm back to training. I got COVID and had to be at home for another week. So it was nearly a whole month of squabbling training and not the best training, and then no training at all for a couple of weeks. So I had already gotten the opportunity to become a professional cyclist at that time, but things were not looking bright getting back on the bike after that whole period. Obviously, my body was loaded also with stress that I needed to release after that period. I also was so low on fitness after such things happening. The mind was very down. So all those elements contributed into not such a bright aspect inside my head. And it was hard. I had an opportunity to join the first training camp with the team, and that's where my father was pushing me. He was like, "Go enjoy. It's in Spain. You have nice weather. You're gonna get to meet the whole team." And he kept pushing me. He also went with me to that training camp. He was always with me. Back in the years when I recall all my moments with cycling, he also used to take me to everyday training for like three years. So he really has put in a lot of effort and time to support such things. And in that period, dark period. And getting back to training, like I said, was very dark. It was so hard to see myself as nearly a beginner in fitness again. You lose fitness with cycling very fast. So that's really something that contributed to feeling so low, and that I'd lost, you know, a lot that I had worked on the whole year. And I just had to keep believing. Our team slogan actually this year is "to believe." And at that period, I really needed that slogan, just keep believing and working towards a better, you know, perspective and fitness. And the point that got me out of that black point, okay, I did have enjoy the time with the team in Spain, but a month later I went with the national team to the Asian Championships, and I was able to achieve the first medal for the UAE on the Asian level, and that really had me on the clouds. It was something I never expected, especially in those circumstances. And it was what gave me the light to see better opportunities ahead.
That was the under-23 time trial, right? You got bronze?
Yeah, it was, okay. It was, yeah.
So tell me more about why did it mean for you so much to get that medal? Because I know that, like, you probably, getting into the sport, you could see, like, Yusuf Mirza doing so mm-hmm. well on the Asian level and all that, and within a very short period of time you were able to do it. So I'm just wondering what it meant to you.
Oh, it really meant a lot, especially, you know, because I was in that dark period. So it meant opportunity, more opportunities ahead. If I had achieved with such circumstances an Asian medal, then what can I achieve with even better preparation, with better opportunities, with better periods, with a better head, what would I be able to achieve? So it really, if I can summarize it, that win was, it was a win for me, even though it was a bronze, so it was not gold. But for me, it meant opportunities ahead, if I would summarize it. And it was lovely to stand finally on the the Asian podium and to dream for better results ahead.
So the joining UAE team ADQ, the first Emirati women's professional team at that level on the world tour, that's a big leap for anyone in general to go. And but for you, in like, again, because of in this part of the world, the sport is not necessarily at the most professional level and it's rapidly improving. Mm-hmm. You go from your start is with the national team, which isn't necessarily the path that someone in a different country would have, because, you know, you would work exactly. your way up to a national team, and then you would work your way up to a world tour, you know, to a world team.
Mm-hmm.
What does that feel like to be thrust into that? Because even if you weren't in a dark period, even if you were in your best going into it, probably there are some doubts of, wow, this is such a big leap. How am I going to bridge that gap? So how did you go about the mindset of handling something like that?
So I already had, as we come in as a national team at the international level, racing at Asian Championships or Arab Championships already. Okay, at the Arab Championships, I was able to progress well and be one of the top, alhamdulillah, at the moment for the past couple of years. But then on the Asian level, we also had such a big gap to close. And so already I had that expectation that I'm going to have to, you know, be subtle with myself, with the head of not stressing too much that, okay, I'm at the level and the rest of the team or the rest of the world's at a different level. The level gap between the Middle East and Europe and the rest of the Western world is a big, big gap. And I take it with optimism that being able, well, a challenge to close that gap. I feel like I'm the person trying to, well, we have a lot of Arab girls also doing the same, and I'm proud of them and I'm proud to race with them as well. We have a couple that actually became professional also last year at the different professional levels, so it's nice to see that there are also other ladies with me on the same way, trying to shorten and accelerate our progress as a nation and our side of the world to the other really high level. And okay, it was big. I felt like it was really big responsibility on my shoulders, but also a really big opportunity, even though it was a challenge, a big opportunity for me to prove that and for me to be able to do that for the rest of the upcoming generations.
I'm wondering, do you ever look at it also in a way that as much as you are learning from this experience and there's a lot to take from your teammates, the team, the whole experience is everything, you're also bringing a lot to the table because they've never had a teammate like you and they can get to learn new things as well. Are you able to look at it that way as well? And what do you think you're bringing you can bring to the team and to be competing with a team like that?
The first thing I see, not just in my team, but to the whole world is, well, hopefully, and I always try to bring this to the table, that to represent first of all my religion and my nation in the best way possible, to represent it around the world, to show that, okay, my nation is not like many expect it to be or have known it to be, and that my religion also is something that doesn't constrain me but also gives me the opportunity to do such. And I just try to represent I take it as an opportunity to show people the true side of both, you know, religion and nation. So many have lots of stereo, well, not from the team but from the whole world, we have lots of people having so many stereotypes about the Arab and Muslim world, so it's nice to be able to sometimes prove the opposite and hopefully prove it to be better than what they expect it to be.
So, yeah, I mean, you made your European debut last year in Poland, I think.
Yes, I did.
And then you made the World Tour debut in China So yeah. I would assume that the hijab stands out in the peloton, right? Like it's probably not something that it's common
especially
for them.
Especially on hot days. Exactly. Everybody is looking at me like, how do you even cope like that? I'm like, well, it's the way I've... I took my first bicycle ride and how I train and how I have been up to today. So I've never known it to be differently, and I'm not sad to be racing this way. I'm happy to be representing myself and my way of living.
Yeah. I think it's also going to be a very significant moment for you, I think, when you go to Paris, because in France, end of last year, they passed a law banning hijab in sports in France, which affected so many people who live in France and are professional athletes and wear the hijab. A lot of footballers had to leave and stuff like that. Obviously, in the Olympics, they're not banning the hijab because it's different, but I feel like it would make a very big impact for the French public to just see all these hijabi athletes just doing their thing and competing and doing amazing. How do you see that element of your participation?
Well, hopefully me and my sisters in religion are able to add a statement in Paris, in the Olympics, to show that it's not restricting us in any way and that we are able to compete or even compete better than a lot. Even with our dressing and with whatever we take from our religion. So I think, it's definitely a big statement to the world and to the French people. And hopefully we can represent our hijab and our religion in the best way.
Yeah. So with cycling, a lot of the cyclists in Europe grow up riding in the mountains every day because they have access to it and all of that. And obviously... in the UAE, most of the training you would do is flat unless you have to travel to go to climb, you know? So how tricky is that part? And how has your evolution been in terms of, because you need to know how to climb, even if you're not going to be a specialized climber, it's a very important part. And I think probably the downhills are even scarier because when I'm watching it looks super scary. So can you tell me, first of all, do you remember the first time you had to face like a very daunting climb or a very daunting downhill, and how did you deal with it?
I do have memories of going to the mountains, actually on my second week as a cyclist with the national team preparing for the first races we had, and it was back in 2016 going up to Fujairah with the bike. And they were quite hard. We do have quite hard climbs here in the country, it's just you don't have that many. And the uphills were brutal, especially riding with girls who already had experience and were riding for a while. It was quite daring. And I remember also getting off the bike and pushing the bike with my hands, and the coach screaming like, "Get back on the bike! What are you doing?" It's such a memory and to cherish and remember. Going high and higher with sports and having many more climbs. And you do need a lot of mountain training, even if you're, like you said, you've done good research, even if you don't want to be a good the best of climber. So you need the momentum on the climb to be able to pedal in the right way, efficiently pushing the power in the right with the right muscles to be able to conquer the mountain in the best of ways. So definitely training on mountains is an important aspect. You do need to do mountains. I try to go as much or as many days of the year be in Europe to train for some bigger races. I've had the opportunity to be in Europe with by UAE Team ADQ for 2 summers. So also get away from the heat, the scorching heat here, even though Europe is not so pleasant these days. But to climb mountains nearly every day and get more elevation into my rides. When I'm in the country, if I do have important events, I try to go as much as possible to Jebel Jais, Jebel Hafid, Hatta, with some hills, more consistent hills. But it's also a challenge, like you said, to travel. It's at least an hour travel one way. So that adds another two hours and a half of traveling, sometimes 4 hours if you're going even further to Jais, traveling. And then you also have to do a long bike ride, because bike rides these days at the professional level You don't just do an hour or two. Sometimes you're doing up to 5 or 6 hours on the bike, depending on the volume and the race you're training for. So that's a big block to be able to travel there, to already have the fatigue of sitting in the car for an hour or two and driving using one leg. You know, one leg is rested, one leg is pressing on the brake and the and on the accelerator. So yeah, it is a challenge, but then I'm always happy to be in Europe, to be able to climb nearly every day and be consistent with it. And I really see after a week or two of doing more climbs, I do get better and better. So I couldn't imagine actually having a climb next to me and climbing it every day, how much difference that would make. So definitely training with climbs makes a difference. But when I don't have the climbs, I try to use the headwind. We have quite a lot of headwind here in the UAE, even though it's flat. So the headwind always adds a bit of uncomfortable conditions on the bike. So you always have to push through it and it does make you stronger. There's always a quote I recall is that when it's when you have headwind, it makes you stronger. When it's behind you, it makes you faster. And I like that quote.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I covered the first when it was the Dubai tour and then UAE tour, I've covered it quite a bit. And I would see the cyclists in the desert and the sand is coming from one side and all this. That in general, watching the sport, even when I had to like cover just through the television, the Tour de France or the Vuelta de España or the Giro, some of those stages, you finish like there's crazy ascents and then cobblestones suddenly appear and rain. And it looks, when you're watching, why would anyone do that to themselves? And I really, how do you prepare your mind for any of these, I'm not even saying all these conditions together. I'm just saying, how do you prepare your mind for that kind of grueling? Because the stage races as well, these stages can be like 200 kilometers each and stuff like that. How do you train your mind for that?
So definitely endurance sports needs a lot of not just physical ability, but mental ability as well. And being tough in the brain, in the mind, I'd say, not even in the brain. Because with fatigue and with all the lactate and pushing for long hours or even, like you said, various days, does have you at one point wanting to give up on yourself. What makes us do it? I'm not sure because it does seem I don't take myself as a sane person doing this sport. I'm definitely insane with the levels of pro cycling and how far and deep it takes you into your body and mind. So yeah, I have actually my past 2023 year was a year that I actually dedicated to building mental toughness. And as I put that goal at the beginning of the year, suddenly so many people, so many topics were attracted to me by that energy of setting that intention of becoming stronger in that way. I got introduced to a mental toughness coach. I got introduced to meet a friend that was actually working on the same goal of becoming mentally tougher. I also dedicated my senior project at university through design to that certain topic as well. We had the change as a theme, and I made my change through mental toughness and changing your physical psyche. Your psyche to become stronger through sports, and especially for endurance athletes. I made a whole kit with a diary to change vocab that you use to change the way you think. And it was mainly called Project Evolve. And its slogan is conquer from within. So how to conquer the outside from your inside. And it had a main statement of how are you speaking to yourself. So definitely the way you speak to yourself, you have 30,000 thoughts a day going through your brain. With research, they've seen 30,000 thoughts. And imagine if 80, 90% of those thoughts are bad thoughts a day. We're only sitting inside something that stops us rather than makes us evolve. So the whole project intended to change that and be able to change at least 1% well, hope for 1% daily, and record all those thoughts and start changing them through actually writing them out. Because you can think a thought, but actually writing the thought out also is very different. It you know, turns on different wirings in your brain, and it helps you become well, alter it to become better. So yeah, with all those attractions, it was so fascinating through the months, finding out more and meeting other people. So it was definitely something that even showed me that setting an intention brings a lot more difference than just thinking it out or saying, okay, I want to become stronger or evolve with this, but not actually setting that proper intention. So definitely something I'd recommend people out there for mental toughness is to actually start listening to the way you speak to yourself, because the way you speak to yourself changes your perspective. And also, well, if you speak better to yourself, you help yourself perform even better. As in, if we're talking about it from the physical and athletic side. And I was happy to also inspire along the way lots of other different students around uni and professors. So it's always something that I like, was pushing people to change for the better is one of the goals I have in life.
I love that so much. And I love that you have found a way, or are always finding ways now, to combine the two big parts of your life, which is cycling and design. It's in very creative ways, and I'm wondering if that's something you want to continue doing.
Definitely, that's the touch point I'm coming up to, well, towards too soon. I graduate in May, we're now in February, finally coming to an end with my uni journey. And a goal I have is to combine my designing skills and experience in design with the sports industry. If I can go with cycling, I'd be more than happy. But definitely in the sports industry, to design stuff for it would be a goal I have, and which is what I'm working on now with my portfolio course, to get ready a file to introduce to the sports industry with designing.
I love that. So I read somewhere, and you did touch upon it, that you're a bit of an introvert. But your sport requires you to travel the whole world, go to places you've never been, work in a team, have teammates from different countries, all of that. How did you go from being an introvert to being able to do that and actually thrive in that environment? What was that evolution like for you?
So I'd still say inside I'm a bit of an introvert, extrovert, because my sport requires me, like you said, to travel, speak to people, to network. All the opportunities I'm getting, possibly with the team, are making me step out of those boundaries I had, or limits I had to myself and the shyness. So year by year, I've been doing more interviews, I've been doing meeting more people, traveling more. So it's all making me step on that line and making that limit even wider, pushing me to interact with people. So I'd say that the sport and it pushing me to do that has helped me evolve in that aspect. And also, if I were to speak in general, sports does change you into a different person. So sports itself is the main thing that has, well, pushed me to change. And I'm very happy with the Safi I am today. Definitely want to evolve and push for more and become a better person out there in the world. But definitely I do love the progress I've seen in myself through sports and how much I've changed through it.
That's awesome. There are a few milestones, I guess, like the medal in the Asian championship. And then I want to particularly ask you about your world tour debut in China, because that was your first experience at the highest level in the sport, I would say, besides the world championship, because that's a bit different. So yeah. I'd like to speak about both. Your first world championship, I think you've been to two now.
Yes.
And so what was the first world championship like? And then what was your world tour debut like?
So world championships are quite brutal, I'd say. As brutal as cycling gets, that's even a different story, because With World Championships, you have all the athletes coming at their best shape or form, or hopefully hoping that they come with the best form. So, and it's a one-day race, quite a long one-day race, normally over 140 kilometers, with either hard climbs or hard parkour, or challenging ones like a lot of turns, which I normally don't race with. So Wollongong last year, racing my first World Championships, was hard. I didn't even get to finish the race. It was that hard. And
sorry to interrupt, but so people know, I think about like 48 riders of the 120 who started or something like that didn't finish.
Not many finished. Actually, I think it was just over 70 riders and we were 140 riders. It was about that amount. So like nearly half of the peloton didn't finish that race. Mm-hmm. It was a very hard course. And the city circuit was even more challenging. I saw lots of World Tour riders even pull out of that race. So I really got to understand, like, okay, I am at a development point in my life, but even the best of the best were struggling in that race. And only pushes me to, you know, to fight more, to achieve that level and better. And then, well, that race was with an invitation, and I was very happy to actually qualify this year to the World Championships, which is another milestone in my career that I cherish. And this year it was in Glasgow, another brutal circuit in the city especially. And everybody just comes at full gas, and they're going full gas from the beginning. So really, really is hard to race in the World Championships, because everybody wants that world title. I mean, what can you have other than the Olympic dream? What can you have better than becoming world champion for a whole season and having that on your CV of an athlete? And then my debut with, like after World Championships last year, I made it a goal that next year when I participate in World Championships, I'm sure it's not going to be that much easier, but I'm going to try and at least get even further into the race with the main protagonist to be able to show myself that, okay, through a year I have achieved progress. And I really was happy with my performance. I didn't have that best of a day on the bike in the World Championships, but I really showed myself that I was able to fight so much harder and deeper. I also showed myself that from the beginning of 23 to the mid of 23, I was able to make at least 20% progress with my mental abilities and strengthen it throughout those months. Not to judge myself too early in the race and actually think it out and, you know, kilometer by kilometer to see how it goes and not stress about it, because stressing about it only takes over your energy that you need to perform the race. I definitely say I've made progress in so many ways from World Championship to another, and I look forward to assessing myself again in the World Championships this year and also in the Olympics, as we have that before it. And my debut with UATME DQ in China definitely was a memorable one. It was lovely to finally be racing on the category my team is part of. It was the right moment to start with it, because if I had started any earlier, it would have, well, as hard as you think it is, it's always shocking. So to be ready for it is the best option. And the team got me to that point where I was ready to compete and made me compete. After seeing my results and my performance in Poland and Toscana with the development team. So I'd say they took me to the right point to actually start that mission on. And I'm happy to also have raced another World Tour race, another two already, this last month in Australia, which was much harder because of the hills again. We don't have much of the hilly skills and climbing. So yeah, it was a challenge in Australia, but China was a really good point to debut, because it was it had more of the flat parkours and more of sprint stages, so it was able to suit me as a profile of a rider, and I was able to get good results and also gain some points for the Olympics. And that was quite bizarre to actually achieve points and be in the top 40 of a World Tour stage race from my first participation. So it was a milestone again of my career, and days that I can look back on to quite happy with.
That was definitely very impressive. I followed your results that week in China. So looking at Paris, in your own eyes, because I read that it's a 158-kilometer long race at the Olympics, and there are 1,700 meters of climbing and 9 named ascents. Okay, I'm sure you know that, but I'm telling people that it's going to be tricky, and I think it's going to take you up to Montmartre and come back, and like, because on paper people think, oh, it's starting at the Trocadero, ending at Trocadero, that's flat. No, it's not. It's going all around Paris. So, what would you consider for yourself? What would make it a successful Paris Olympics for you?
So lots of people are like, have some unrealistic wishes of like, we have to see you on the podium. But that's definitely, to be realistic, that is not happening with the level that we are at and the level that the world is at. And I'm already as happy with myself for qualifying to the Paris. It's such a milestone, and I'm very happy to be the first ever Emirati woman cyclist to qualify to such a big event. And I'd say to make it a successful one for me would be to complete the race. Already would be such a big achievement for myself, because in such races, if you get dropped out of the major peloton, and as the race comes to a circuit at the end of it, if you are at the back of the race and you're not in the first group, most times you're pulled out of the race. So actually to be with the first group and to finish it with them would be such a big achievement to me, and I'd really be happy with it. So that's what I'm preparing and hoping for, and also getting my brain ready to envision it and make it possible.
And in terms of the Olympic experience, first of all, are there any other athletes that you grew up admiring or are inspired by right now, whether in your sport or outside your sport?
Yes, Yusuf Mirza, you already touched upon, was a big inspiration for me ever since I joined the national team. He's been a cyclist that's given up a lot, fell down so many times and got back, had quite brutal injuries, and came back even stronger. So such a role model. He also qualified to 2 editions of the Olympics. So really an athlete to look up to with all he has done for the cycling in UAE. He's really had me want to achieve more and more. He also joined in onto my journey back in 2018, has been supporting me closely since then. He was coaching me at one point. He still supports me so much. I race sometimes with the Woosh team, so he's the leader of that team. He's also, as he's retired, it was sad to see him retire, but he found that it was the best time for him, and we are happy to have him in a different way as the national team head coach at the moment. So we get to benefit from all that experience and wealthy experience that he has, and all the ways to become better as he has become, and hopefully on my side achieve for the women what he has achieved.
And so, speaking of Yusuf, because Yusuf was also the first to Emirati to join a World Tour team, there's a lot of things that you are doing now that he was also the first. And I'm curious, through your interactions with him, what are some of the things that he told you to kind of deal with being the first, you know, because it's something that I would assume probably you feel about it now differently than how it was in the beginning. So how did your mindset change also of understanding your role as the first and just also accepting it, thriving in it? How did Yusuf help you with that? And how do you view that right now?
One thing he told me the other day was that he sees with what I'm going through at the moment, he sees himself in me. And that was, quite nice words to hear. If he sees himself in me, that means that hopefully I can have at least as a successful career as he's has. He's been supporting very closely. He's always offered me what I've been in need for to progress and to go even higher. He's provided me with so much of his knowledge of you know, what to do in such hard situations, how to also deal with the sport at such a high level. Because as you progress with the levels of sport, you actually get to experience such new things that you'd never expect to experience. Like, I was doing the same. I'm riding a bike and I'm doing the same sport as the highest level are doing. But then you get to experience so many different things as you evolve into the higher levels. So he's definitely backed me up, and he's envisioned me with what to expect in you know, this career that I have, and continues to support me. So I'm very I feel very blessed with his support, and I really appreciate it.
Do you follow any other sports, or do you follow any other athletes in other sports?
I do follow a couple of at least Arab women doing different Emirati athletes and other Arab women doing different sports, and they're also inspiring. Another, I say, initiative that has shown me more is the FBMA awards. Last year I participated and was shortlisted in, and I got to listen to other Arab athletes speaking about their journey and on the interviews and stuff. And I was really quite fascinated with how many strong athletes we have on the international level, and how you sometimes never hear of them, which is something I'd like to push with, you know, having more exposure and getting to know more about all the other, at least Arab athletes, you know, before the world. Because in the world, you have quite a lot of exposure, but then from between male and female, you have such a different exposure. So always pushing for more exposure for such great achievements to be able to inspired by, because sometimes we have the role models, but we don't know about them to be inspired by. So getting to know such outstanding names would be definitely a way to inspire many more.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do also with this podcast, is really exactly what you're saying. We have so many elite level athletes in different sports, but bizarrely, we don't know much about them. So yeah, we have the same vision with that, you and I.
That's lovely. And we appreciate all your efforts.
Thank you. I'm loving this chat. So I'm wondering, beyond the Olympics, what are some of your biggest dreams in this sport?
In the sport, definitely, as bizarre as it sounds, to become world champion, maybe. Like, I say it with hesitation, but I'd love to say it with more confidence. One day to be a world champion, and we'll see how the journey takes us, if we're able to pursue that dream or not. But also competing, in the world championships, to be able to, one of my main goals for the coming years, to be able to finish that race in the front group, like I want to finish the Olympics, would be such a good achievement for me, because I see how hard it is. To be able to win a stage in a stage race would be a prominent goal that I would love to achieve. And I'm sure that UAE Team ADQ will back me up and support me in the best way possible to achieve that dream. A short-term dream, I'd say, that is more realistic at the time being, would be to win the, already is still so hard, but the Asian Championships, to win that Asian title would definitely be a goal. I don't say a dream, because dreams you don't get up to work for, and you don't sweat for, you don't shed tears and blood for. So I call it a goal, because I actually put effort into it and would like to achieve it one day. And I always say, if something comes true from what I'm working for, I always say, what a goal come true, and not what a dream come true.
I love that. I think we have to finish on that note, because you said it so perfectly, and I totally agree. And I wish you all the best of luck. I really, really hope you have an amazing Olympic experience. I hope it's what you hope it would be, or want it to be. And I'm definitely going to speak to you again, for sure, because this was a very enlightening conversation for me. So thank you, Safiya, so much.
Thank you for your time and effort, Reem. And we really appreciate your efforts in giving us more exposure, I'd say. Thank you.
It's my honor.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
What an incredible conversation with Safiya, who was so open about her journey and the goals she is chasing. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Up Dawn, and stay tuned for a brand new one next week.